The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, good evening and welcome into the fastest 2 hours in radio at Yahoo Sports Radio. It has been a great week of championship basketball, and of course on tonight's show, our coverage will continue. As a reminder to listen to the show on the go, you can just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. A reminder, all of our guests, of course, are joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line, and that's who we're getting ready to talk to right now. We're going to be visiting with a Basketball Insider publisher, Steve Kyler. There are so many burning questions in the NBA. We want to get into the 2015 NBA playoffs. They're just around the corner. The MVP race is on, and also, it's been a while since Steve's been on the show. We want to talk about the impact of some of the trades that went down. So, Steve, good evening. It's nice to have you with us.
Always good to be with you.
And so much to get into, especially right here in the Western Conference, because the sprint to the finish line, it is on. Obviously, the Western Conference, the best in the NBA. So many teams really did improve their stock with some of the trades. We'll talk about that here momentarily. But at the forefront of my mind is, let's talk about the Golden State Warriors. I mean, Steph Curry, he's got his guys on top. But my question to you is, do they have what it takes to be the ultimate the NBA champion this year?
Well, I think they've got the resume of a title contender. I think when you look at how they play defensively, they're one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. They've got a lot of depth. And, you know, it was funny when the big three got together in Miami, I was asking a bunch of executives, would it all work? And there was a common theme, and I don't know if it was a rehearsed theme or if it was just how everyone sees it. You know, your first three guys generally get you there. You need really three good guys to get you into the playoffs. But to contend for a championship, it's your next three guys. And when you think about all of the championship teams that have won in the last few years, you know, you think about the San Antonio Spurs, it's guys like Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. It wasn't Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan. It was those next three guys. And, you know, even as good as that Miami team was, you know, one of those championships is Ray Allen. One of the other championships is Mike Miller. And I think that's where Golden State starts to really have that it factor to be a real contender, because it is more than just, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. They've got Draymond Green, who's playing incredibly well. Guys like Sean Livingston off the bench, you know, Maurice Spates, Andre Iguodala, David Lee. They've got a whole lot of guys that they can lean on. And I think the other bigger thing is they see the big picture. They see what's in front of them and the opportunity. And when you're in that locker room, you don't see guys counting the number of minutes or counting their shot attempts. You know, they really are really comfortable with their role and really comfortable with how they play with each other, and everybody's getting an opportunity. And I think that as long as that continues, they're a very scary team, not just because they can score you in so many ways offensively, because they can shut you down in so many ways defensively.
Steve Kyler, Basketball Insider's publisher, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And obviously, a key to a championship run, it is depth. And it sounds like you like Golden State's their supporting cast.
Yeah, they're a very deep team. And you know, as I mentioned, you know, Sean Livingston, David Lee, Andre Iguodala, you're bringing those kind of guys off the bench. Those are starters on other teams. And, you know, you think about Sean Livingston, there wasn't that long ago that Sean was considered, you know, one of the up-and-coming stars before, you know, he had that gruesome knee injury. And,
right.
You know, he's really playing very good basketball, and he brings such an interesting dynamic to what they do. You can take Steph Curry off the floor for extended periods of time, and you don't lose any intensity. And I think that's what really plays in Golden State's favor, is there's a huge interchangeability factor for them that if they do have an injury or somebody like an Andrew Bogut goes down, they've got a guy on the roster that can not only give you that level of production, but also fit in very seamlessly. The other part, too, is because they have so much depth. If you look at the minutes played, you know, they don't have to lean on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Those guys don't have nearly as much mileage on them this year as they even had last year. And, you know, that's a huge luxury. You saw San Antonio do it last year, where they didn't have a single player in the season average more than 30 minutes a game. The Golden State's not quite to that level, but you do have the ability to kind of pull guys out. And I think they're going to be rested. I think it's one of the reasons they haven't had a lot of major injuries at this point, is because they can be very judicious about how much they throw at guys. You know, if they need to lean on Steph Curry, they can, because they haven't leaned on him for the last six games. You know, they have a real luxury of being able to put it down when they want to.
I definitely want you to weigh in and your reaction on Dante Jones' post-game butt on Draymond Green. I mean, he wasn't too pleased about that, but he was the guy that Green got the final word. I mean, he dropped 23 points.
He did. And, you know, there's a funny thing about that dynamic is those two teams, specifically the L.A. Clippers and the Golden State Warriors, they really don't like each other. And, you know, the Clippers, I think, have that distinction with a couple of teams, because Memphis is one, too. There is just a real animosity. And I think that, you know, some of that is the players on the roster. And if you look at, you know, the number of technical fouls and flagrant fouls, you know, a lot of Clippers on that list. They're a chippy, edgy group that's trying to get in your head and trying to get you to make a mistake. And, you know, the bump was certainly not maybe the most professional thing to do, but I think it is really kind of, it illustrates really the dynamic the Clippers have with a lot of their opponents is they don't like you and they're not going to keep any secret of it.
Hey, Steve Kyler with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We don't want to get too far into the interview. Tell all of our listeners, Steve, where they can check out Basketball Insiders.
Well, we cover the NBA and basketball 365, so really anything that's going on in the world of basketball. We've got the March tournament coming up. We'll be all over that. And a race to the postseason, you know, is certainly kind of a big element for us. But, you know, then there's the other side of that. There are 14 teams that won't make the postseason, and then we'll be talking about the draft and kind of how they'll change their teams and their fortune going forward. So really getting to an interesting time in basketball, and we'll be all over it at Basketball Insiders.
Well, we are zeroing in on Golden State right now. Obviously, so much attention offensively on the Splash Brothers, the best offensive tandem, I would say, in the NBA. But we've seen such significant improvement with the Warriors defensively. How have they done it? How have they fine-tuned that, Steve?
Well, I think there's been two parts. Is one, that Draymond Green being inserted in the starting lineup, he's just so big and he's so active, and they allow him to freelance. You've got Andrew Bogut, that's a real challenger down in the paint. You know, he's not a huge leaper, shot blocker, but he's big and he's physical, and he can really, you know, clog up the middle, if you will. And then you can bring guys like Andre Iguodala. It wasn't that long ago that Andre Iguodala was an all-star and a starter in this league. And, you know, having the luxury of bringing somebody that's such a versatile player like that off the bench, you know, David Lee always gets the knock that he's not this and he's not that. He's been very good defensively for them this year. And I think it's a mindset, too, is that, you know, they understand as a team and as a unit that, you know, they're going to get where they need to go defensively. And it's something that, you know, not only head coach Steve Kerr, but assistant coach Alvin Gentry has really kind of preached to them, is that, you know, they're going to make their mark in this league defensively, and that jump shooting, especially when you're as perimeter-oriented as Golden State is, will come and go. And certainly in the playoffs, it's a lot harder to be a very good jump shooting team. And they've seen now over the span of, you know, more than 50-plus, you know, 50-plus wins that they can really change the game in a lot of ways in their favor defensively. And I think that's just a young team understanding the importance and value of defense, that it can't just be, let's see who can put up the most points. They really get and understand, and I think they're running a very sound defensive principle. You know, we talk a lot in football about coverage schemes and that and things of that nature. The Golden State runs a very good system-based defense. They're not great man-to-man defenders, but they're going to move you around on the floor to places you don't want to be and bait you into taking bad shots. And they're really good at doing that. And I think that's really one of the keys to their success. It hasn't been so much how much they can outscore you, because they can, but it's how much they can frustrate you and make you, one, they'll get out in front and then force you to kind of you know, catch up, and then you'll make some mistakes that way. But the other part is they just push you around on the floor.
NBA Talk continues with Steve Kyler, Basketball Insider's publisher. We will be right back after this quick break. The fastest 2 hours in radio right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Love to hear from you. Join in on the conversation. It is NBA Talk. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. You can always go to our radio website, yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. Check out all of our amazing hosts. Well, right now we're going one-on-one with Steve Kyler with Basketball Insiders. He is the publisher, does a great job. And right now, let's transition. Let's head over to the Memphis Grizzlies, a blue-collar type team. And it was so interesting. I was listening the other day. I was talking about, is this a team that can grind to glory? I mean, they're an old-school type of team. Can they do it?
You know, the one thing about Memphis that I like is they've been here before. You know, we talk about kind of the path and the trials and tribulations that teams have to go through in order to get the experience to be a championship. You almost have to fall down a few times before you can win. It's very rare that kind of that first-time team goes all the way through. It's happened, but more times than not, you're going to lose that first couple of series before you win them. And the fact that Memphis has been to the Western Conference Finals with this group of guys, the fact that they are such a well-knit and defined unit, they really are that kind of very special team, that really just trusts each other. And the fact that they have so much experience with each other, I think, helps. The trade for Jeff Green has absolutely been the missing piece. He's such an interchangeable and versatile part of what they do. And, you know, they, too, have this amazing bench unit that they can just start running waves of guys at you and really just challenge you to do things you don't want to do. And when they decide to put the half-court defense on you, it's not a pretty thing. They really do grind teams to death, not only with their physicality, but just with their precision. You know, they're one of the best in the NBA, really kind of mapping out what you do and really starting to take parts away from you. San Antonio is very much like that, where they figure out the three or four things you really want to do, and they're going to take two of them off the board in how they defend you and really make you beat them doing things you don't like to do. And, you know, that's one of those things that if you can beat me off your left foot, I'll be more than happy to do that, but I'm not going to let you beat me off the right foot. And they're really good at understanding that and executing that as a team.
How big of a win was that against Chicago on the road at this point in the season? Because Memphis, they'd gone through a little bit of a lull.
You know, the 82-game season is the great equalizer. It really does kind of let the top, you know, float to the top and the middle float to the middle. And there are some games in the season, especially when you talk about, you know, 3 games in 4 nights or back-to-backs or, you know, your 5th game in 10 days that, you know, really test you. And I think, you know, this Bulls team certainly isn't what, you know, at full strength, you know, missing Jimmy Butler, missing, you know, a Derrick Rose, but, you know, a win, especially against a team that's as good as you are defensively and as good as you are in terms of execution, is always a good thing. And I think when you look at Memphis, you know, especially in the race for the West, where, you know, I think it's going to come down to, you look at kind of the standings now, you know, 6 games separates between 2nd place and 7th place.
It's crazy.
It's kind of crazy how bunched up everything is. So when you can get a win against an Eastern Conference team, that just helps you secure your own home court. And that's going to be a big thing for Memphis, is making sure that they have home court as frequently as possible, because going into Memphis, especially when that crowd is behind them, is a really tough place to play.
Who would you like to see him in that first round matchup?
You know, again, I think just from a pure, it's going to be, you know, fun away from the game, is probably the LA Clippers. But, you know, kind of where the matchup is at right now, it's Memphis and San Antonio, and I think that matchup is pretty interesting. San Antonio has had Memphis's number for a while. You know, no matter how well Memphis has played, San Antonio's had the key to that combination. And getting past them, I think, especially if they can do it in the first round, you talk about getting confidence and momentum, you know, getting over that one team you can't seem to beat, you know, certainly sets Memphis up for a really good run. And I think the number 2 spot for them is really interesting, just in how that kind of maps out, because, you know, 2 will play 7 and then you'll play, you know, 4 or 5. And I think those matchups both really favor, at least how they're seated now, how they would favor Memphis in terms of getting all the way to the Western Conference and having a chance to be in the NBA Finals.
Basketball Insiders publisher Steve Kohler with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Okay, you bring up the Spurs. This is a season where they have faced a ton of adversity. They've battled through injuries, but they're getting hot at the right time. And I tell you what, Tony Parker, he is looking like his all-star form and self.
You know, it's funny. I was asked earlier in the week by somebody, was this the year that San Antonio's done? You know, are we going to see them? Like, you know, I have learned over a long period of time never, ever to bet against the San Antonio Spurs. You always lose. You know, they are such a calculating team. They are such a defined group in terms of their process, both offensively and defensively, in terms of how they prepare. You know, I think when the word playoffs gets stenciled on the floor, you're going to see a very different Spurs team than you saw even 3 weeks ago. And, you know, they know how to bring it. They know what to do. Again, very precise in terms of their execution.
Right.
And I think that they have that resume of a team that just knows how to do it and do it the right way.
Steve, what teams are sputtering down the stretch right now?
You know, you got to wonder if you know, I think the biggest ones are probably in the Eastern Conference. When you look at, you know, Toronto has had a gambling defense their entire season. You know, they're just not playing defensively as well as they should. And, you know, they're falling backwards. Washington hit on some real tough times, you know, after the All-Star break. I don't think the extended break helped them at all. You know, you kind of look at Milwaukee, you know, after making the trades and moving off Brandon Knight, who was having an All-Star year for them. You know, as good as Michael Carter-Williams has been, you know, in the short term, they're not winning as many games, so they're starting to stumble a little bit. You know, there was a bit of a run there where you thought, you know, maybe some of these teams like Detroit or Orlando or Brooklyn were going to kind of get into the bottom of the playoff discussion, but all three of those teams have really kind of settled into kind of what I would say is who they are. They're just on the outside of the playoff bubble looking in. But I think those are the teams more so in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. A lot of the teams in the Western Conference, especially in the playoff hunt, are really starting to look good. And when you look at what New Orleans is doing at the bottom, they're playing exceptional. I think maybe the underachiever in the West is probably Phoenix. But again, for the same reason, you know, you trade away four point guards at the trade deadline and bring back a guy that's only had one practice with you at this point in the season. You know, you're probably not going to be as tight-knit and unified as you'd like to be.
Never enough time when we're visiting with Basketball Insiders publisher Steve Kohler. Does an outstanding job. Be sure and check out his work. One more time, Steve, tell the listeners where they can go.
Sure, you can check us out at basketballinsiders.com or on Twitter at @BBallInsiders. If you're looking for NBA news, anything that's going on in the NBA, we've got you covered.
Thank you so much, Steve, for joining us. Enjoy all the games this weekend. Thank you.
Anytime.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show, and join us online at Twitter at eRadio Sports. We will be right back. Okay, back with you tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. The NC2A tournament, it is almost here, and so many stories of the season that we're going to get into in our next segment. Our college basketball contributor that we have invited back from Slam Magazine, the owner and operates the five-star, the prestigious basketball camp, our very own Lee Klein. Of course, he's joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Good evening on this Friday. How are you, Lee?
Doing incredible. So excited for the Selection Sunday and the upcoming NCAA tournament. And really, you know, it's been great so far, Championship Week, and it's promises just to get better.
Well, you're right. It is my favorite time of the year. Championship week, it is well underway, and we're going to break down some of the best teams and conferences and what to watch for before Selection Sunday. And really, in my mind, Lee, the race for the number one seed. I mean, some analysts are projecting there are six legitimate number one seeds. You've got undefeated Kentucky, really is essentially the only team that's locked in. But what is your view of like a Villanova, a Duke, a Virginia?
Well, I think right now the way it looks, I mean, six teams, you have six viable teams when you include Arizona and you include Wisconsin in the conversation with the teams you mentioned. And I think when we talk about the number one seeds, it's such an advantage to be a one seed just to have that first, you know, with the number one never having lost in the tournament, just that alone is a big advantage. And then as you face going into the, as you move forward into the next round. So I think Kentucky and Duke right now are situated to be one seeds, no matter the outcome of, you know, what happens the rest of the way. I think they're set as number one seeds. Now you're talking about, can Virginia continue, are they worthy of keeping a one seed, or if Wisconsin should capture the Big Ten championship, if they won't leapfrog over the Cavs in that spot. And I think Villanova as well should be locked in as a one seed. I think that their body of work over the course of the season definitely deserves it. So to me, it becomes whether or not the fourth number one will be Virginia or if it'll be Wisconsin.
Have a number of questions about Virginia. I think back to that upset loss to Louisville, 59-57. I mean, when you review their full body of work, I mean, do they deserve to be a number one seed in your mind?
I think you got two different teams here. I think you have a team with Justin Anderson that has the ability to beat you in many different ways. They could spread the court. They could beat you inside. And then I think you have the team that you've presently seen with Justin Anderson being on the sidelines that's got to play a real defensive-minded game with a small margin for error in order to end up victorious. So I think that this is a team with Justin Anderson that competes for the national championship. And without him, I think we'll, if you will, struggle. And, you know, and unfortunately, probably have to gut out what might be six in a row, which will be too hard to go.
Hey, you are listening to the voice of Lee Klein, contributor with Slam Magazine, owner and operates the Five Star Basketball Camp. Of course, he's joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We are celebrating. It is Championship Week. And so talk to me now, Lee, the bubble tracker. Who's in and who's out?
Well, here we go. The bubble tracker, BYU. Has done what it needed to do to put itself in the dance and in great position. BYU is just a great story of a fun offensive team, one of the best in the country that spread the ball around. They got guys that really shoot it. It should be a fun team to watch when we get there next week with Tyler Hawes and Kyle Collinsworth, two special, special players that the country is going to fall in love with. On the outside, unfortunately, Murray State, who had a terrific season,
yeah,
but fell short in just heartbreaking fashion with by Belmont with an incredible three-point shot that Taylor Barnett hit to knock the Racers out of the tournament. And that'll be something that we will miss seeing the great Cameron Payne, one of the real stars in mid-major basketball. Also moving forward, when you talk about who's in, we've seen an emergence in the Atlantic 10 with the Davidson Wildcats. First year in the Atlantic 10, incredible run throughout the conference, and now they are what Bob McKillop's done. We all remember what he did with Stephen Curry. Here's a team that's hot again, that just knows how to win with the coach that just pulls all the right, makes all the right moves, maximizes his roster. And so Davidson's another team the country should get to know as they are in the dance and look to make some noise there. But unfortunately with the Atlantic 10, because they're in, now that means that somebody else is going to be left out. And it most likely looks like the Rhode Island Rams, who have had a terrific resurgence under Danny Hurley, but don't have enough signature wins in order to be able to warrant an at-large bid.
Talking about maximizing the roster as we look ahead, I mean, give us your gut, feeling in terms of who's going to be that Cinderella team that's really going to surprise and go very, very deep this year in the NCAA tournament?
Well, here we go. I think, Cinderella wears a different dress than what it used to. We used to think teams like Gonzaga and Wichita State were Cinderellas, but they spend a ton of money on their program. And when we redefine it and we look at it, we should think of almost Cinderella being somebody who can't really afford the diamond shoes and the decked out dress.
Uh-huh.
So for me, Cinderella is the Ospreys from University of North Florida, who punched their first ticket ever to be in the NCAA tournament. And here's a team under Coach Matt Driscoll, the former Baylor assistant, that beat Purdue at Purdue and really is just a veteran team with good guard play that promises to give whoever they face, if you will, all their money's worth. I think this is a team that could win a game, maybe two in this tournament, and turn some heads. They shoot the three-point shot really well, and that's one of those elements that you need if you're going to make a run throughout the tournament.
The contributor with Slam Magazine, owner and operates the Five-Star Basketball Camp. We are going one-on-one, hooping it up with Lee Klein. And I want to get your take on Kentucky. Obviously, the SEC tournament, it is underway right now in Nashville. They've been the biggest storyline all season long. Of course, this perfect regular season record, 31-0. Nine more wins for the Wildcats to duplicate the feat of Indiana in 76, the last time a team completed a season undefeated. Just what are your just overall takeaways from this historic season from Kentucky?
This has been a great story for college basketball. One, you've got kids sacrificing personal numbers and personal glory for the collective whole and the benefit of the team. That is as much what this is about as anything else, and really is refreshing in today's era in which we talk about a lot of individualism and entitlement in regards to our athletes. The second thing that about this, it really brings a lot of attention to college basketball that maybe doesn't get for the fair weather fan. Because now this is a story everyone wants to know about. Can a team be undefeated and run the table the rest of the way? And can this team, if you will, think about it from a five-year perspective? Can they win a second national championship and be in the Final Four? Once again, I mean, think about what it being for a legacy. Everyone likes college basketball is at its best when there's a great team to root for or root against.
Yes.
And that's what Kentucky is providing. And I think it's great for the game. And the selfless play of the team is great for basketball in general.
Well, it is quite an accomplishment, no doubt about it. I personally want them to finish strong. I'd love to see them run the table with an unblemished record. One of the things I want to talk to you about, Lee, is what is the key to managing egos on a team? I mean, getting these young kids to sacrifice individual attention for the sake of the team.
Oh, I think that first off, you got to have a coach that is honest with his players. I think you got to be upfront and honest, and Cal does that, and he's got enough of an ego to warrant respect. So you get respect from doing what you say as well as being able to have done it in the past. And Cal fits the bill, and that's one of the reasons why he's successful in doing it. The second thing is, look at the success rate that he's had in producing kids to the NBA. And that's what everyone wants. They want to play at this next level, and he's been able to produce some of the best that have laced it up in the last decade, and so he's shown the blueprint of how to do it. So kids have bought into that aspect. But I think the third part is when you're able to see by the efforts of your sacrifice that it contributes and leads to success, that each day you buy in a little bit more. And at this point, I think those kids are all in. For Cal, they'll go through a wall for him. They know that he's got their best interest in their mind, and they're having fun. They're enjoying being student athletes. They're enjoying this ride they're on. And like I said, that is the best part of all of this when you talk about the state of college basketball.
Lee, always a pleasure and honor to have you on the show right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. We will talk to you next week and enjoy Selection Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Definitely will be fun.
Absolutely. Stick around. We'll have much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We are so glad you're joining us tonight. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. Right now, we're hooping it up. We're talking NBA with my guy, Motez Bashara, CNN World Sports contributor. He is an NBA writer and author. Of course, released his book last year, Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan. And we're having him weigh in on the MVP race. We've talked about Russell Westbrook. Right now, our conversation is going to continue to narrow in and focus on James Harden. And one of the things I want to talk to you about right now, Motez, is this has been such a big year for Harden. I mean, he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He kind of is, in some ways, been regarded as an unlikely candidate for an MVP. What are you seeing from his game that's different from years in the past?
He talked in that article. He did explicitly say that his first couple of years in Houston, he didn't really care much about defense. He just kind of sagged back and, you know, let other people do the dirty work.
Uh-huh.
And other people got in his ear and said, look, if you really want to take your game to another level, you're going to have to step it up and play solid defense. And that's what he's done. You know, he's getting two steals a game. He's obviously getting in the mix there, along with his seven assists, which he's obviously making his teammates play a lot better. And I think, you know, he's thinking less about his own numbers and more about winning and playing for the team and playing scrappy defense. And I think that shows, you know, that shows in the overall performance of the team. I think the other thing is that the other superstar on the team, Dwight Howard, has been injured for a lot of games, about half the games he's been out. And a little bit like Westbrook, Harden has become the focal point of the team, and he's picked his game up as a result of that.
Yeah, it has been remarkable to watch how Harden has kept the Rockets afloat. I mean, with Howard, as you're saying, I mean, he's missed nearly half of the season. I mean, it's been remarkable just to watch how he has stepped to the forefront, and he's put his Rockets right on his back.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Dwight Howard does come back, whether they'll be able to gel as well and whether Harden's game might dip a little bit, because it's natural for, if you have two all-stars on the same team, to defer a little bit when somebody comes back. So I'm really interested to see how that chemistry works.
Okay, Motez, I want to ask you this. I mean, did you ever think James Harden could be like a megastar in the NBA and excel at this level? Because, I mean, I spent time around him in Oklahoma City. I mean, I covered him for a year. Just to see how he has really strided out. I mean, he excels at the pick and roll. I mean, getting the basket, you know, he can drain it from long range. You're talking about he's bringing the complete package now. He's playing defensively. But did you think that he would be one of the top five players in the league?
Top five, probably a stretch. But I did love his game the first couple of years. I remember him playing as a rookie in the playoffs with Oklahoma City and burying some very some big time three-pointers there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he always had that that feel for, you know, shining under the spotlight in his game. He loved it. Even the fact that he sports this huge beard, obviously he doesn't have a problem with getting recognized, with people watching him.
Yeah.
And I think he likes the attention, and the major stars in the NBA all have that ability to shine under the spotlight under moments of intense pressure. He was great in college at Arizona also, or was it Arizona State? And, you know, that just all leads to where he is right now. And so did I see it coming? Probably not quite at this level, but the fact that he left the other big two on the Oklahoma City Thunder and, you know, came to Houston, he said he was bummed out about it a little bit at first, but
I'm sure
That was probably the best thing that ever happened to him.
You know, huge praise from the Rockets owner, I mean, Leslie Alexander, saying that James Harden, he was making the comparison, he could be the best player since Hakeem Olajuwon.
That's pretty amazing, considering they also have Yao Ming, who I think is in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, that's a huge boost of confidence, and that's really saying something. He's basically saying, this guy's our franchise right now. I love that. I love hearing about that, and I hope he takes it to heart and wants to stay there for the rest of his career, and you know, ideally bring them a championship too.
Well, good news. I mean, James Harden, he is only 25, and he's going to continue to get better. Let's head out now to the East. Let's talk about LeBron James and his Cleveland Cavaliers. What is your belief about the Cavs and what they will be able to accomplish? Because obviously they have really fortified their roster with some, I think, some terrific moves this year.
I think at this point, most people would think that they are going to take the East. They're the four seed right now. By the end of the season, I think they'll be number two to Atlanta. So they'll be in pretty good position. They might even face Miami in the first round, which would be kind of funny to see how that would play out. LeBron facing his old team in a seven game series. I'm fairly certain, unless they stumble, that they will make it out of the East. Chicago is obviously a huge wild card, the same way Oklahoma City are in the West. If Chicago, you know, gets Derrick Rose back, gets Jimmy Butler back, nice and healthy, they could be a spoiler. But right now, I think it's Cleveland and LeBron's Eastern Conference championship to win.
Well, your heart really goes out for the Chicago Bulls. I'm glad you bring them up because health has been such a major factor in this final stretch. Yeah, you talk about Derrick Rose, but what about Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson? I mean, with his ankle, I mean, there's never a good time to be injured. But when you're in this final home stretch, it's critical.
It's really sad because the same way Oklahoma City had injuries, I think in the very beginning of the year, you would have taken Chicago in the East and Oklahoma City in the West. I mean, they're the best two teams when they're both healthy. And so in the beginning of the season, boy, they looked awesome. As you said, your heart goes out to them. I'm not sure if it's the style that they play. They play such intense defense, that maybe that wears on them a little bit, but, whatever it is, they do have a great, great spirit in Chicago. The fans are always out. That place is always sold out. And guys like Joakim Noah are winners and they're fighters, and they will try and keep that team afloat until the other guys come back. This just, sadly, I'm not really sure that this is their year, though.
Well, there's a lot at stake in the Windy City, and you just have to wonder. You talk about the great players, and you rattle off so many of those names, but their coach, I mean, Tom Thibodeau, I mean, just so highly respected and regarded across the league. I mean, what a challenging year for him. That's got to be so frustrating as a head coach.
I like Coach Tibbs a lot. I have a lot of respect for him. He's an amazing defensive-minded coach. I've had the luxury of sitting courtside listening to him talk throughout a game, though. Boy, he can really wear thin on players, I think. And after a few years of listening to him, I really would not be surprised if some of their veterans have just tuned him out completely or are getting close to that. I really wouldn't be surprised if there was a coaching change next year and they wanted to just start over. A lot of other teams would covet a guy like him, but I'm not sure he's the kind of coach that could stay in a city for more than three or four seasons without players just finally wearing thin of his constant badgering of them to make them, to play defense, make a move on every single possession down the court. It's a bit tough.
CNN World Sports contributor Motez Bashara has been joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, of course, also the author of his book, Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan. Enjoy your time in London, and Motez, we will catch up with you real soon because we're at the countdown's on, 6 weeks to the start of the playoffs. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Stay close. We'll be right back at YSR.